mama's gonna beat you to the bright shining sun, to the bright shining sun, oh Lord, to the bright shining sun. Jane Brooks was a big bay horse, he rode that shaggy mane. He ran all around Memphis, he beat the Memphis train, beat the Memphis train, oh Lord, beat the Memphis train. Molly, what made your head so red? Running in the hot sun with fever in my head. Fever in my head, oh Lord, fever in my head. Molly said, Tin Brooks, you're looking mighty squirrel. Tin Brooks said to Molly, I'm leaving this old world. Leaving this old world, oh Lord, leaving this old world.
Here's a great little song. Very happy.
Out in California, where Molly done as she please. Come back to old Kentucky, got beat with all these. Beat with all these, oh Lord, beat with all these.
Beat with what?
Meet with all them leaves. Oh, there's no leaves in California, apparently. I like how his band's very polite and they play quieter when he starts to sing.
Well, he was singing quieter, too.
Wow.
This song was needed to be put to the level later.
Kuiper, Kuiper, you're not a riding right. Molly's a beating old Tin Brook. Fair out of sight. Fair out of sight, oh Lord.
Okay, I have no idea what he said there.
Pretty sure this is a Kuiper, horse racing song.
Kuiper, Kuiper, my son.
All right, enough of that. It's a Brian and Vinny show, everybody. Tuesday, April 13th, 2010, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We have Raw to talk about. We have SmackDown to talk about. That's it.
That's the end.
It's really all. But hey, next week, next Tuesday, we're going to have to talk about some stuff here on this show. Actually, let me look at the calendar here. No,
I'm
that's
trying
not
to think
right.
What that would be.
Nope.
Another Raw and another Impact.
I was wrong. It's going to be next Friday. Not this Friday. It's the Friday after. I'm not going to say what we're going to talk about, but just be prepared. Next Friday, there's going to be an announcement here on the show.
Hmm.
Now, what the hell, I'll talk about it. A couple of people have been asking, you know what, I'm not going to talk about it.
And this is the Friday 10 days from now.
10 days okay. from now. I'm just because... going to say 10 days from now, tune in. We're going to have a State of the Empire address.
I see.
State of the Empire address in 10 days. And for those of you that are listening right now that are freeloaders, you're not going to get to hear it.
Hmm.
You will not get to hear the state of the Figure 4 Empire address.
If any of you are wondering, I don't know either.
And what better reason to sign up? I mean, really. To find out what's going on in the website, the state of the website, I mean, why would you not want to sign up to hear about that?
It would be hysterical if you were just shutting it down.
Well, no, we're not doing that.
Absolutely high comedy.
If you sign up right now, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. It's not going to be worth it all in one day, but it's going to be worth it. All right, we're going to talk about these shows here. We're going to play a couple of songs.
Somebody, have a good time.
Somebody emailed me. I don't know if we'll have a good time, but...
We might have a good time.
Somebody emailed me today, and they apologized for saying really mean things about me when I didn't play their song. If you remember last week, I announced I was not going to play this person's song because he called me some awful names, including what I would almost go as far as to say would be racist names. So I wasn't going to play his song on here, and he has since sent an apology. And so I may end up playing his song later on in this program. He's actually made about three of them. So maybe we'll give one of them a shot. And if it's good, we'll play the rest. And if not, well, too bad for you, buddy. But I'm a forgiving man, so I'm going to play his song because he issued an apology to me. That's all I ask, everybody. Just a little bit of respect.
All right.
I don't always get that on the board. Anyway, should we play the song now?
You've built it up this long. I want to hear it.
I want to make him wait, actually. I've been reading about infomercials, and so I'm reading how to just kind of...
Why on earth have you been reading about infomercials?
It's fascinating.
Is it now?
It's fascinating. Vinny, you can't tell me you've never bought like spray on hair from a late night infomercial.
Never bought spray on hair.
Come on.
No, I don't. I honestly don't think I've ever bought anything from an infomercial.
You must
I'm
have.
To think.
I'm trying to. You had to have bought something. Maybe like some Ginsu knives or something wacky.
You know, I have bought an item or two at the As Seen on TV store.
Yep.
So while I did not pick up the phone, I did not call right now. Apparently, I don't remember what, but something inspired me to go and make a purchase. So I guess I have.
See, there you go. It's just fascinating. And plus, I need to learn how to sell products on my own to all the freeloaders.
Are you going to produce an infomercial?
All the freeloaders. Well, this
isn't... Please tell me...
This is an infomercial
no,
right now.
I mean on television.
Huh? Well, no.
That would be great.
This is an infomercial right now for the website.
Right. I understand.
If only Tony Little could hear this right now.
You're multitasking and offering a product to your customers as well as advertising your product.
I'm promising
customers.
That if people sign up, they're going to get more of what they're hearing right now.
Yes.
Call now! Should have an 800 number to order, but they're listening so they can just go online and order right now. But anyway, I don't even know what the point of that was. Oh, I was going to tease the song. I was not going to play the song immediately. I'm going to make everybody wait for this song that I've been building up now for 5 minutes. This one here is called Vinnie V's Eulogy for Brian. I'm going to consider playing that one, but I'm going to make everybody wait for a while first because, you know, build up some.
If you do an infomercial, you have to get Vince. And I don't mean Vinnie V. I mean Vince from Slap Chop. That guy's awesome.
Slap Chop?
The Slap Chop.
Oh, the Slap Chop.
Yes.
See, everybody knows about all these infomercials.
And ShamWow.
How
also
could you not want to read a book about them?
I just want to watch Vince sell me products.
Well, maybe he'd sell you this website.
Hey, that'd be great.
All right, we're going to start with the... What should we start with, Raw or Impact?
Raw's on my screen.
Well, too bad.
I
want to talk about Impact because I've been thinking about this for a while here. The show did a 0.79 this week.
Is that good?
Eh. I mean, it's better than when they did the 0.6.
That's true.
It did a 0.8 this week. Mm-hmm. Not great. I mean, now, after it hit a 0.6, this is like a victory, which, think about that. Anyway, the point is that they had an hour unopposed, and in that unopposed hour, they did like a 0.9 in the hour unopposed. Monday night, before Raw, 1 hour unopposed, 0.8. That really does suck. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how I've mentioned this before, that they had a very loyal audience. Remember that TNA audience where we'd come on here every Thursday and we'd talk about what a goddamn horrible program Impact was, yet people continued to watch?
They still do a 1.1.
This 1.5 million people that watch this show every week through thick and thin. And there was plenty of thin.
Very little thick.
In fact, there was years of thin. But these people just stuck with it. These people just could not be stopped. No matter what horrendous shit you put on this show, they'd still watch every single week. Remember the barbed wire Christmas tree?
I do.
The Deuces Wild tournament? All this other shit that we laugh about every week when we play
Black
that
Rain's
song?
Black Rain's Mouse?
These people watch the show through all of that. They used to have an X Division they pushed, and then they stopped pushing it. Samoa Joe, like, painted a penis on his face. You know, they just did all of this stupidity, and people still watch this show. I thought, this is the most loyal audience. If only I could tap into this audience, then I'd have that gold boat that I've been talking about for a while here. Because these people will put up with anything. You can insult these people. You can give them a horrendous product. They'll still watch your show every week. Well, they've lost some of those people. They've lost about 500,000 of those people. 500,000 of those people that we thought would never leave are gone. And I was thinking about the Impact show this week, and the first hour was really awful. Like, really bad. There was some just horrendous stuff on that show. But I don't care. I cannot fathom myself getting mad when I review this show. If I do, that's going to be pretty impressive. Because I just don't care. Mm-hmm. Maybe after all of the bullshit, all of the different time switches, the fact that it was another fresh start that failed yet again. I mean, how many of the new biggest nights in the history of TNA have we seen? Well, January 4th was like this is a real one. You know, they always claim this is the biggest night of all time for TNA. January 4th, in a way, kind of was. The Monday Night Wars were starting again. And then March 8th even more so, because that's when they became permanent. But they fucked it all up again, as they always do. And maybe that was like the last straw for me. Maybe that was like my last ounce of caring left at that point. I just don't care anymore. I don't care that the show's bad. It doesn't bother me. I watch it. I make fun of it. I move on. I don't give a fuck. Anyway, the point is, I think that's what happened to that 500,000 people that have vanished. I think they finally just don't give a fuck anymore. They finally managed to drive those people off. So, with that said, let's look at this terrible show. I know people want me to get really mad when I review Impact and rant and rave, but I just don't think I can do it anymore.
See, I watched...
And there's no one to blame except TNA. Don't get mad at me for it. You just get mad at them. They've burned me out.
I watched this show after watching Raw, and Raw bored the hell out of me. I thought this show was actually much better, so...
This wasn't a bad show, especially the second half. The first half was really stupid.
There was nitpicking we can do, but on the whole, A, it was much more enjoyable to sit through, and B, it made me more excited for the TNA pay-per-view than I am for the WWE pay-per-view, which may literally be a first.
You know, the only thing that I remember off the top of my head on this show is I was reading a book. Been reading a lot of books lately. I was reading a book, and I'm not going to explain everything here. I'm just going to tell you what I saw. You know, all these books have, like, you know, there's like
pages.
The insert in the middle that has pictures.
Sure.
Okay. Well, one of the pictures was like a child had drawn a picture of a car with like an elf in it wearing a Santa Claus hat zooming down the road. A little elf with a Santa Claus hat in a mini car. It's all I can think about when I think of the security camera footage. I have absolutely no idea why. Because it was part of the circus, I think.
The security camera footage was... Well, it wasn't... I also laughed hysterically at this.
It was so stupid.
Should we talk about that when we get to it, or do you want to talk about it now?
Well, may as well talk about it now.
Okay, for those of you who missed the show...
The whole thing was so stupid.
For those of you who missed the show, Abyss got hit by a car.
He got hit by a... No, what they said was he got ran over by a car.
Did they say run over?
Which was even funnier, because actually he ran over the car when they showed the security camera footage.
So first, they did it right before commercial. Abyss is on the ground, we don't know why. Then they came back and said Abyss has been hit by a car, and then immediately they cut to something else. They finally came back with security camera footage. So what happened was, Abyss got hit by a car, although as you noted, Abyss hitting the car, the car got hit by Abyss, maybe a more accurate way of putting it.
Yes.
Abyss was not blindsided by this, nor was he hit from the front. This is virtually a head-on collision. They were almost walking towards each other, or moving towards each other, and I believe Abyss may have been traveling faster.
Yes.
As devastating collisions go, this is low on the list. Now, I would rather have them do this than repeat what Jerry Lawler and Eddie Gilbert did 25 years ago. If you've never seen Eddie Gilbert hitting Jerry Lawler with a car, Jerry Lawler probably should have died. It was out of control and very dangerous. I would rather have them do this. But it still looked bad on television. So Abyss is walking towards a car that's driving towards him. He throws himself on the hood and over the side. And then the key that they were showing this was...
Well, actually, to set up the security camera footage, first we just see that Abyss is down, and people are surrounding him. And Christie's there doing her CNN reporter impersonation, basically, or maybe Fox News would be better, basically telling us that Abyss has been hit by a car. He's been run over by a car. Cut to commercial. Because, of course, a wrestler just got hit by a car. Who fucking cares? We've got to plug.
We have products to plug.
We've got some merch to plug. So they come back, and he's there, and she reveals that we have got security camera footage of what happened. So they play the footage, which is, in fact, a car ran over Abyss. I don't know why it was so funny that, like, it was so important for us to see this. You know what I mean? It would be like let me think of one of my classic analogies. If like a tree fell down on a car. Let's say no one was in it because we don't want anyone to get hurt, even in my analogies. Let's say that there was a news story of tree falls on car. And you turn on the news, and there's a car with a tree on it.
Right.
And they announced that after this next break, we happen to have security cell phone footage of the tree falling on the car. And you wait through the entire commercial break, and they come back, and the footage airs, and it's the tree falling on the car. Exactly as you would have envisioned it in your mind. Not a thing, there was not a lightning strike, nothing. Just tree fall on car. That's what this was. I mean, do we really need to see it?
No.
I don't know why. Just,
well, the reason they had to show this for...
Oh, yeah, you're here. They could have just said, we don't know what happened to Abyss. Something happened. He's down. He's hurt. But we've got security camera footage. We'll find out what happened.
I see.
Then you turn it on and it's like, my God, he was hit by a car. That Thank God for this security camera footage.
That would have been better.
Yeah.
But you see that the they didn't handle it correctly, but they had to show the security camera footage because you see the footage showed the identity of the driver.
The driver.
And the driver, I can tell you, was a white person.
We think.
With sunglasses.
Yeah, no, it was definitely... There could have been a bright light shining on him.
Well, it was...
He could have been wearing a white costume.
It may have been Jack from Jack in the Box.
It could have
There was just a large white space where the head would be and sunglasses.
Who would have worn one of those pointy caps?
Don't know.
What a coincidence.
Maybe taking the pointy cap off. My guess is that we were supposed to think this was Desmond Wolfe.
Well, they explain that later on in the show.
Okay, yes. So, yeah, this was all high comedy. It was so immediately laughably bad, I didn't even hate it. I enjoyed it for making me laugh so hard.
I hated it. Well, I laughed at it, mostly. I laughed at it because they show the footage, they zoom in, there is a human being, presumably. I actually said yesterday that
it
I was certain
it was gray.
It may have been an alien. It may have been an alien life form. I don't know. I have no idea. It could have been that thing from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It actually looked remarkably like that thing, in fact. But anyway, there was I can't even say a hominid. I don't know. There was a being capable of driving in this vehicle. So they zoom in on it. You can't see a goddamn thing. And Mike Tenay starts going nuts about, my God, it looks like, well, I shouldn't say. We don't want to jump to conclusions. And I'm sitting there just thinking, I have no fucking idea who this is supposed to be. I rewound it multiple times. It was a person apparently wearing sunglasses. I had no idea. I mean, it would be one thing if they zoomed in and Mike Tenay was like, I can't quite make out who it is. I can't quite make it out. I've got some ideas, but I'm not sure. Instead, he's acting like it's crystal clear and that we're fools to have not known who this was. This was classic TNA right here.
I'm just going to read my notes recapping this footage. Surveillance tape shows Abyss walking in front of a slow-moving car and rolling himself over the hood. This makes it look 100% like Abyss's fault.
Well, maybe it was.
I amuse myself sometimes. So yeah, that was the highlight of Impact.
That was the highlight. That,
when I look back on this episode in 2 years, I will forget everything except Abyss hitting a car.
Well, I won't even remember that. I'll remember it if you remind me that it
yes.
happened.
Remember that time Abyss hit a car on Impact?
If someone said, hey, Brian, remember what happened on the April 12th, 2010 Impact?
Well, of course not.
I will probably just say...
No.
Shit happened. Which got a 95% chance of being correct.
But if I tell you in 2 years, I say, remember when Abyss hit the car on Impact?
I'll laugh at that.
And Jack from Jack in the Box was driving. You'll remember that part.
I'll remember the elves driving the little mini car.
Oh, Christ, what are we doing?
Show open with Jarrett coming out, and he yelled about how he was the founder of TNA.
He came out to talk about how he was not here to talk.
And then he talked.
So,
can you imagine coming on the show every week and taking credit for founding the show?
This is all my fault!
I just can't even fathom it.
So, he...
I always laughed at the concept of, like, being the TNA champion. To claim responsibility for this promotion.
Yes.
That takes balls.
So... He said he was, as I said, he was not here to talk. He wanted to find Sting, so he immediately left the ring, went to go hunt Sting in the rafters, and then he announced, so, Sting, you want to play hide and seek? And right after he said this, he actually did play hide and seek with Sting.
He hid.
He saw Sting.
He hid.
Yes, he saw Sting coming around a corner, and he hid. Then he attacked him. They brawled up in the rafters for a long time. The crowd was chanting TNA, and Taz...
playing the role of you and me actually said, I'd love to see these guys make it towards the ring. Just sick of them brawling in the rafters already.
Yeah.
So they did eventually make their way to the ring. Sting actually took a bump on the ramp for a punch for this. That astounded me. I figured he'd be smarter. So after all this violence, they got the ring, and then Jeff wanted an answer.
Yeah.
Then he wanted to talk again. So the lights went out. They came back on. Sting had a bat. He beat him up. Jeff Hardy and RVD saved.
And we never saw Sting again.
Or Jeff.
Sting is on one of the teams. We never saw him again. I don't even know why. He beat him up with a bat. Why could he not continue later in the show?
I don't know. So speaking of his team, we had a Team Flair promo. He said everyone was there, and I was like, no, Sting is not there. Sting is in the ring. You put it best in the newsletter when you said that this was a promo straight out of the 80s. Everyone said like a sentence or two, and they all cackled and they moved on.
It was out of the 80s because Flair vowed to destroy Team Hogan and Hulkamania.
Yes, in 2010, he vowed to destroy Hulkamania.
The only thing that was missing was him to say, once and for all!
Sure. So he ran it for a bit, and he put on sunglasses as Beer Money cut a promo behind him, and Flair now has gone from being crazy to now he is old, crazy, and blind.
I didn't realize this till just now, but at the end of this show, Flair leaped out of the wheelchair to beat on the babyfaces.
Right.
It would have been nice if they would have called attention to this astounding fact that he could walk again.
They may have verbalized it, but they reacted, hey, look at Flair. He's been faking it this whole time.
Huh.
They sold it somehow. But yeah, this was...
Wait a second. Yeah. He's been faking it the whole time?
I guess that's what we're supposed to think. I assume God did not heal him.
Maybe not that God healed him, but that he finally was able to walk over the past week, and this was the opportunity to jump out of the wheelchair.
I have assumed, literally since the first moment I saw Flair in a wheelchair, he was faking it.
Okay, the problem with that scenario is that there were many instances where the babyfaces got hold of him in the wheelchair, and he responded by just sitting there.
I do recall Hulk Hogan pushing him up the ramp. And
yes, why did he not get out at that point
I don't know.
Well, this was stupid.
I don't know.
I didn't even realize it until just now how stupid this was.
Well, at the time, it seemed like a perfectly fun promo. It didn't go too long.
No, promo was fine.
They're going to win. It was fine.
When Desmond said that he was going to make the ring his own, and Chelsea says, no, it's going to be mine. I can't even do a Chelsea impersonation. I can do Tiffany. I cannot do Chelsea. I cannot be that boring.
Tiffany has so much negative charisma, she has a charisma, and you can imitate her. Chelsea is just there.
I mean, I don't know. Even when Tiffany is very obviously reading lines, there's high comedy to it.
Yes.
This woman reads lines, and it's like, you would be laughed out of a high school play audition, and here you are on national television. And you know what? I don't like to get on people's looks, as we're well aware. And really, you know, Chelsea's not a bad looking girl. But is she really so hot? You know what I mean?
Is she really the best Desmond Wolf can do?
I mean, it would be one thing if like Helen of Troy came available and she couldn't read a line. But my God, every time she was on TV, you fell over in your chair. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This girl is not even the best looking girl on this show.
No. She may not be above average on the show.
Yet, there... Why? Why is she there? She can't deliver a line, and she's not a stunner, so I'm not certain why they hired her. Like, they signed her to a contract, Vince.
Yeah, I know.
You couldn't go...
Of all the things to question TNA about over the past 8 years, this is the one that's stuck on you?
Yeah, hiring
practices.
You're
stuck on?
Yeah.
You could
walk through Universal Studios and probably find 100 girls better looking than her on any given day that could deliver a better line and would probably work for $100 a show. And instead, for some reason, I don't know. This one is just a complete enigma to me. We had the Team 3D and Jesse Neal against Hall, Nash, and Waltman street fight, where they hit each other with shit for like 5 straight minutes. And by they, I mean the babyfaces hit the heels.
Yes, this is Vince versus Brett all over again. Yep. Although at least this time they did not lose the crowd.
And there was heat.
There was a lot of heat.
And then finally, Bubba went up top. And, I mean, think about this, everyone. They had laid waste to the heels for 5 straight minutes.
With weapons.
With weapons.
As my notes read, good guys lay complete waste to their foes using every weapon on Earth.
So Bubba goes to finish off X-Pac, and who should run down but Bubba the Love Sponge? He distracts Bubba Ray, X-Pac with the X-Factor through a table. Bubba is pinned. Astounding.
He also did the What's Up drop in 2010.
Well, yeah, they'll do that forever.
They will do that forever. And also, and this isn't actually even a criticism, just I was kind of stunned. These six men were all brawling in the ring, and who's named at the crowd chant but Jesse Neals? Good. Hey, he's over. Great. I was just surprised.
And then Eric Young ran out, and we're getting Kevin Nash and Eric Young in a singles match in a cage at the pay-per-view. Who thought that match would be a good idea?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. When I said I was excited for the pay-per-view, this is not the match I was thinking of.
I would nearly bet $1 million this match will not be good.
It has very, very low odds.
This is a case of foresight being 2020.
Yeah.
You look back on this show in a week, and I will be correct that that match is going to be bad. Because if I were in charge, I would not put a bad match together. It would be one thing if it were two guys people wanted to pay to see.
Yeah.
But a single person? Is a single person paying for Kevin Nash versus Eric Young? The answer is no. And it's going to be a bad match on top of that. So why would you put it together?
I wouldn't. But Eric threatened Nash by saying that he would get righteous in this match.
Righteous?
He said, I'm going to get righteous. Then his music played. And this is a stupid line. Sean Waltman reacted like it was a stupid line, which was funny. But the first time I've taken a good close look at Sean Waltman in HD, he looks old.
Well.
And he was standing next to Kevin Nash.
Road has owned him.
He has had a rough life.
Hogan did an interview and saw Eric talking to Flair. And then he confronted him and said that we need to chit-chat about this in the office.
I just like that. This happens a lot with this group, but Hogan and Bischoff are like junior high girls.
They're divas.
Oh, yes. Hulk saw Eric talking to someone who he's jealous of, and now he's giving him the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
We had Shannon Moore versus Kazarian, who was introduced as hailing from Southern California, which is a very large area. They had a really good match. It was fun. The Kazarian was a very subtle heel. He got the heat. Shannon made the big comeback. Looked great making his comeback. Douglas Williams was on commentary, burying them for their acrobatics and stuff. Shannon was doing his comeback. He did a flip off the rope on the floor. And Douglas dubbed it foolhardy. And then Kaz did something where Shannon was on his shoulders and Kaz bridged back for a pinfall and it didn't work. And Douglas said that he could have just done a small package or a backslide and then said, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. He also said the crowd was dead on their feet, which is such a blatant lie, he cannot say it with a straight face.
Yes.
So, went to a time limit draw, the crowd booed, they demanded a finish, they didn't get one, so the wrestlers shook hands. Douglas made fun of them for kissing and making up. He vowed to put an end to this nonsense lockdown, and then they went to chase him away to the back. This segment was great!
Douglas Williams is my favorite thing on this show.
He is really awesome. It is stunning how long he was just the silent wrestler on the show. Whereas, in fact, he's a great wrestler and a great talker.
If he loses the belt at the pay-per-view, I'm going to be so sad.
To Shannon Moore.
This should just go on for years.
Yes.
Or at least several months.
But, this segment was just an absolute home run. And it was followed by a Velvet Sky promo.
Her tits did a promo. It's really the only way to describe it. They were enormous. And
good.
She then did the stupidest. It's a good thing she had giant breasts because this was just the stupidest fucking promo. Leading to the stupidest fucking match. Basically, she has won the right to have any match she wants at any time.
Right.
She's chosen a match with Angelina, the women's champion. So she comes on the air, and she announces that I decided the belt's not going to be on the line. Why is that? Because you see, on Sunday, it is going to be Velvet and Madison versus Tara and Angelina with whoever getting the pin winning a title, meaning if Velvet and Madison pin Tara and Angelina, I guess whoever gets the pin gets the women's title. And if Tara and Angelina pin one of the other two, they win the tag titles or something. Regardless.
The point being,
why didn't you just put the fucking title on the line in this match?
Why wouldn't you want two chances to win the title.
You stupid woman.
why would you... I mean, you know... Why would you not want two chances?
She then goes out for the match. We'll just cut to the chase here. And she changes the rules again. It's no longer a leather and lace match. It's now a match where Angelina's handcuffed, and she gets to beat on her until Angelina says, I quit. Title's still not on the line.
Yes.
Your fucking opponent has been handcuffed, and you do not put the title on the line. So she beats crap out of her for a long time. Angelina refuses to quit. The other two beautiful people run down. Tara makes a save.
And then the match
ends without a finish.
Yes.
The only way to win, everyone. The only way to win is to say, I quit. No finish.
That was no good.
This sucked.
That's the biggest thing that was bad about it. But the point Velvet announced, she announced, I didn't get her exact words, but she basically said, I'm going to handcuff you and I'm going to whip your ass. So the heel has just told the babyface, I'm going to handcuff you and torture you. And Taz's response was, and this is a quote, works for me. He does not care.
No.
At all. So, yes, and again, why would Velvet not want the title on the line here? And then later, when Angelina would not quit, Velvet threatened her by saying, I guess I'll just have to strip you naked. You'll be shocked, but the crowd did not boo.
No. These people don't understand how to make faces and heels.
At all.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned that before.
And it ended with Tara making the save, but then refusing to shake Angelina's hand. So, yes, we are going to get the wacky tag champs who hate each other again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was no bias. I agree.
Russo just has to have a bunch of ideas on cards, and he shuffles them. And
there's only about four of them.
Yeah.
Tag champs who hate each other.
Pole.
Seeing objects on a pole.
Gauntlet match.
The gauntlet match. No holds barred fight that has a wacky name.
That's right.
And the ring is disguised.
And no finish.
I don't know.
That's all I can think of.
I'm sure there's more.
Hogan and Eric bitched backstage, and Eric told him that, you know, you can trust me, which of course is a lie. And then Jay Lethal walked in and wanted to team up with Hogan against the band, and Hogan said, find my tights, maybe we'll do it after the paper.
He actually called them his banana hammock.
That's what he said.
Yeah. He also,
because his cock's big.
Sure. He also said, when Lethal said was mad about the band, he said, they didn't play Be a Man, did they?
It's actually funny.
Hogan and Lethal are a great team. I'd be fine with watching them do stuff every week.
We had an awesome interview with Abyss and the Pope. I cried tears of joy. This was so great. And
it was. Pope cut his usual great promo. And I love the Pope's promos. And this is one of them. And Abyss totally upstaged him.
Yes.
He said he could not be stopped. And told Desmond Wolfe to bring a rocket launcher or a bazooka.
Yeah.
Great.
Which was funny because he brought a rental car and actually did the deed. That was kind of sad. At least there could have been a bazooka on top of the car or something.
Or clubbed him with a bazooka. There was also here an Angelina promo where she said she did not come to TNA to parade around in her underwear like a lady of the night.
That's what she said.
I howled with laughter.
Yeah.
Did you forget the first 4 years you were here?
She's a serious wrestler now.
Yeah.
And so, her argument with Tara... One of those classic moments where it should not have aired. Because when it was over, you hated both of them.
Well,
you hated them.
I do not think they teased a fight. They teased a hate fuck. They teased violent, angry lesbian sex.
Morgan and Red, we didn't
get that either.
Morgan and Red against the Machine Guns. Lowest rated segment on the show, 0.65. Matt Morgan as the fighting babyface who is a heel with his diminutive partner. Against the guys they never promote. It just didn't work. Match was fine.
Red and
the Machine Guns were awesome.
When Morgan cut his promo and announced that he made me pick a partner, so I'm picking this guy, and Red walked in, I thought, you know, that could be a really fun team. Because Red can do the entire match, hot tag Morgan, he can come in and throw the small men around. That could be fun. And you know what? It was a fun team. But I knew from the start it was doomed. Because everything in TNA must turn to shit. And so after they had their fun match and they won, Morgan killed his partner and the team is dead.
Jeff Hardy and Robert Roode. This is a pretty good little match. We had a run-in by James Storm, right in front of the ref. No DQ, of course. That's in the Russo playbook as well. So, Jeff hit the senton. He got the pin, I think. I don't really know what happened there at the pin, but the bell rang, and Hardy was given the win. And then they, of course, had Storm get in the ring and blow a fireball in Hardy's eyes, which they edited off the live show and told us we had to go on the internet to see. Really? It's on the internet, everyone.
They didn't seem to plug the website?
Huh?
They didn't plug TNA.com?
Well, they did. It's just, you didn't air the fireball on TV. We have to go to the website. In fact, let's see how many people went to the website. You continue.
So, yeah, they had a good match, and Jeff was burned, and then RVD tried to save, but he got beat up, too. It was overkill having a guy get hit by a car and another guy get burned by a fireball on the same show, but at least...
Especially since they're both wrestling.
On the pay-per-view in a week.
Yeah.
Yes. But at least it was all... They were both small parts of a larger angle.
And Storm with the beer bottle. Well, that's... Trademark Storm, here is. That's what Beer Money Incorporated is all about.
Oh, my God! He blew a fireball right in the face of Jeff Hardy. That can't be beer. That's some type of flammable liquid.
What the hell was that?
What the hell was that?
Oh, my...
That was obviously...
Well, that looked quite spectacular.
That's what that was.
Did it?
Sure. And they didn't put it on television. Gigantic, it looked like the Death Star exploded. In Jeff's face.
Well, maybe Spike told them, no, you can't hear this. I don't know. But
87,000 people watched it.
I just love...
Out of the 1.1 million that could have seen it if you would have fucking put it on TV.
I just love that Mike Tenay has just watched, as you said, the Death Star has exploded into a man's face, lit him on fire. And Mike Tenay's response is, that can't be beer.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Can't be beer.
That's the real outrage, is that James Storm was carrying a beer bottle around that does not have beer in it. Never mind the immolation that has just occurred in the ring.
Wow, there you go. How exciting. All right, move on.
We had a Ken Anderson Kurt Angle hype video. It was really long. I don't know, was this any good? I watched the whole thing.
Which match?
Anderson and Angle.
It was all right, but again, I don't know why we would want to see it again.
I watched the whole thing, and
distracted by the TNA Wrestling YouTube page. I'm going to see if there's any good stuff on here.
There might be. I watched this entire hype video, and I was not moved one way or another. So, I don't know. Maybe other people care about this, but we've seen it all. We had the Pope cutting a promo. He was set for a tag team match with Abyss later tonight, but of course Abyss was run over by a car. So he was a serious Pope here. He was talking about saying prayers for Abyss. And he had a job to do, and he was going to go out and fight 2-on-1. When Jay Lethal came up and cut a Macho Man promo, he said he would be the post partner, and they vowed to take on Rick Martel and somebody else. So, the main event then had been changed to AJ and Desmond versus Pope and Lethal. So, Pope makes his entrance, and they cut backstage to where Beer Money is beating up Jay Lethal, and they beat him up for like an hour.
Yeah.
And Pope just stayed in the ring. Look at the monitors saying,
Uh-oh.
My partner's being killed. I'll wait. So, a long time went by until finally they broke a bottle over his head. So now he was out. So now it was Pope in a handicap match against AJ and Desmond. Except then, as Desmond was on the ramp, Hogan whacked him with a chair, took him out. So now it was AJ versus Pope, and then Flair got out of the wheelchair for a DQ in like 2 minutes. And Beer Money ran down. They all beat up Pope. James Storm should keep his shirt on more often.
He has a better go-home show than usual, by TNA standards, of course.
I am excited for the Lethal Lockdown match.
Yeah, why?
Because the babyfaces got their asses kicked here and now have something to come back from.
How many cages is it?
Well, the whole show is in cage matches.
But is it double cage, single cage?
You've seen this match before.
I know, but it would have been nice if they might have mentioned what Lethal Lockdown is.
No, they have never done that.
I don't think a single fucking time.
No.
They've explained what a Lethal Lockdown match is.
You and I know that it's war games with a roof with weapons.
I guess it doesn't matter since they've only got 1.1 million viewers. But the idea of going on Mondays was to vastly increase your audience, and it would be nice to tell the new fucking people what your Lethal Lockdown match is all about. I hope that they just bring back King of the Mountain and don't bother to explain the rules.
Oh, Christ.
That'll be a good one. I want to listen to this. We're gonna wait till the end to play the song, because I've got to... I don't know if I'll play the whole thing, but as everybody's well aware, Don West is now in charge of the TNA Live Event Center. I've never watched one, but I want to hear some of this, so let's give it a shot.
Don West here at the TNA Live Event Center, where we tell you where we've been, and we tell you where we're going. Folks, we just got back from an incredible trip in Ozark, Alabama, Columbus, Georgia. Loved meeting everybody there. Also, a lot of the big stars, Jeff Jarrett, the beautiful people, Jeremy Borash, Team 3D.
Jeremy Borash.
Fort Benning. We're able to spend a lot of time with the soldiers and let them know how much we appreciate everything that they do for us. It really is the rewarding parts of these trips. Folks, we got a huge trip coming up. I'm talking April the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. Folks, oops, we're going to be in Corbin, Kentucky. Then we're going to Pikeville, Kentucky on Friday night. And on Saturday, it's Huntington, West Virginia. Folks, this is going to be an incredible loop of shows, and you will...
Excuse me, I have hot news.
Whoa, JB.
I have hot news.
Jeremy Borash.
I'm going to interrupt the show, but I have hot news. I was told to bring this in here to you right away and have you read it on the air. I don't even know what it says.
Well, folks, let's...
It's about this Corbin show. It's
all
about
right.
This Pikeville show.
Okay, Corbin, Pikeville, Huntington,
Oh, no.
Holy crap. Oh, I don't know what that means for you. Folks, this just in, late-breaking news.
Is this for real? Is this a rib on me? It's not a rib on me.
Is this real?
No, it's real.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you got to come see this.
I'm going.
It is just in, the controversial one. Eric Bischoff is going to be at the shows in Corbin, in Pikeville, in Huntington. Now, I don't know what that's going to mean specifically.
Why is he coming, Don?
Well, obviously, he's going to keep his eye on you. He's heard about all the shenanigans that JB does on these house shows. All I can tell you is this. When he comes, that means there's going to be unbelievable chaos and controversy. I don't know what's going to happen, but you don't want to miss it. You want to be a part of there, because if Eric Bischoff's going to show up, fireworks are going to go off. Unbelievable shows that just got better. And as always, folks, don't forget, April the 17th. April the 17th, it is fan interaction, and then April the 18th, it's lockdown. You don't want to miss both those incredible events in St. Louis. Always fan interaction, one of the greatest days in our lives.
Just had a shot of Chris Daniels, who's no longer with the company.
And I and everybody get to meet all the superstars, all the wrestlers. And don't forget to sign up for that main event package, where Sting, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, all in the same room. And all the benefits that go with that are incredible. And then, of course, lockdown on the following Sunday.
Jobs.
Folks, you don't want to miss it. As always,
sad
go
meme
to the website, drugs, where you find out when tickets go on sale, as we have tickets on sale for Lake Charles, Louisiana,
hometown
Houston,
of Buddy Wayne,
Texas, and Beaumont, Texas. Always, there's only one way to experience TNA, and that's live.
The man is astounding.
This TNA
it's
wrestling
amazing,
hobby
really
is the sexiest cyber knockout on the web. SoCal Val.
What is this?
See her every Monday night live on TNAWrestling.com.
She's posing in the rain.
Yeah. And don't
and
forget about
now
him.
There's Jeremy Borash.
TNAWrestling.com. Hosted by SoCal
he
Val.
He is now dry humping her behind.
If it's happening in TNA Wrestling, it's happening here first.
Log on to shoptna.com to find
what
out what
am I
I'm
listening
wearing
to all of this for?
Because it's better than listening to us.
Wow.
Yeah, Don West is awesome.
Don West is quite great.
That
yes
was better than Impact.
Yeah. All right. Get started on Raw.
David Hasselhoff came out. They had the Knight Rider theme. They had druids holding pictures of David Hasselhoff's face in front of their own. They had Kit was there, which is amazing to me because this show was in England, which means either Kit lives in England or they flew him in. Either way, pretty amazing. So Hasselhoff got in the ring. He was wearing like a sequin jacket, and he cut this awesome promo hyping up himself. Not his music or his movies or his TV shows or anything he was doing, just David Hasselhoff, the entity. It's fantastic. He announced a Baywatch Babe triple threat tag team match. He said he had been watching SmackDown, and at that mention, everyone booed, which made me laugh. And he said SmackDown had no top contender, so he announced Jackie Swagger would defend the title to Randy Orton at the pay-per-view. So, funny dialogue aside, he noted that Orton had beaten Swagger twice and thus earned a title shot. That makes sense. That makes sense. And then he said tonight the top two contenders would face each other when Randy Orton faced Batista. David Hasselhoff was so awesome at being the guest host. So he made this a giant win.
He should be on the show every single week. And he should be booking, since apparently he's...
He's a better booker than the people running TNA.
Yeah.
Eve versus Maryse. Michael Cole was so bored during this match. Just bored of wrestling entirely. He is totally burned out. So they're having a match, and Eve rolled her up and won the title.
Yeah.
And it was about that exciting as I made it sound.
You know, I know people get mad at me when I... But I make fun of Maryse, or not Maryse, Melina, and God knows she's hurt. I don't like to see anybody hurt, but she wrote something on her blog today about this that I was just like, what the fuck? Let me find it here and I'm going to read it. I'll read it to you.
Should I keep going?
No, I got it right here.
All right.
All right. This is after Eve won the title. She wrote, just to make sure everyone understands, I think Eve is an up-and-coming talent. She has potential, like many of our divas. Like many of our divas, they deserve a better title moment than that, with a good chase and a good build-up. Maybe you need to be a wrestler to know that feeling, but it's an incredible feeling when you've reached such an honor. This is the women's title she's talking about, by the way.
Yeah.
Where it took time and you invested so much to reach that moment, that level, she got cheated out of that. No one understands that. Good for her. Be good to your heels. They make you who you are. As a former heel, I know. Do your thing. I still stand by what I say. Back in the Trish, Lita, Jazz era, the women earned the title and fought for it. It meant so much. Women looked at them and wanted to be as great as them. It shouldn't be about taking turns on who gets to put it on this week. It should be about who earned it and who brings credibility to it. I still wish it could have been Jillian, Katie, or Gail to have that opportunity. All I wanted was to start a new era. To make those women proud, to see we were keeping it alive. What? It was a women's title change.
It was on Maryse.
Maryse lost it to Eve.
Who cares?
Who fucking cares? Someone needs to get in there and just, I don't know. I'm just gonna move on now.
That's pretty fantastic, actually.
It's a fucking fake belt.
It's the fakest of the fake belts. Is that the butterfly belt? I forget.
Yeah, it's not even the women's title.
It's the
Divas title. It's the belt that looks like a vagina.
It's the belt on Raw.
God. I'm sorry, everyone. Go on.
Show Miz came to the ring. They had an announcement. Big Show said that he had doubts at first, but he now is ready to admit that they could be something special. Miz said that they are special. And his announcement was that they are the greatest team in WWE history. Fantastic heel move there. So then Bret Hart's music hit. And I mentioned earlier that Michael Cole was bored during the women's match. I will take bored Michael Cole over fake enthusiasm Michael Cole, because Bret's music hit. And Michael Cole's response was to squeal, "Can it be?" Like he was Fat Jesus from The Hangover. So Bret came out. Said a lot of teams were better than Show Miz. Name two, he said the Hart Foundation were better, and the British Bulldogs were also better. And Miz said we would have beat those guys if we were around in the 80s. And Big Show told Bret to leave. Bret said he had a team back there to back him up. It was the Hart Dynasty. Miz said they can't be on the show because they're on SmackDown, so Miz pays attention to that kind of thing. Bret said he invited them here, and that was that, so I guess Bret has that power. He talked about wrestling the Bulldog at Wembley Stadium, and David Smith talked about his dad. Said his dad was here watching. He challenged Miz tonight, and if he won, they would get a title shot at Extreme Rules. So Show Miz at a conference, and Miz accepted the challenge. But if he wins, the next week Bret must admit they are the greatest team of all time.
Of all time.
What a fantastic stipulation that is.
Yeah.
You must say we're the best.
Mm-hmm.
So you fight and fight and fight for this win, and you get it. And next week, Bret comes out and says, "These guys are best," and then he leaves, and that's all you want.
These guys are the best of all time.
I love this segment. This was great.
Oh, yeah, that's next week, everybody.
Then, as we find out, because, yes, we had Miz versus Terry Smith. not a lot of heat. They wrestled a long time. There was a very convoluted finish. Sho ended up kidney punching Harry, who was then pinned.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Well, he punched him in the back. They tried to claim the kidney, but come on. He punched him in the back. Batista and David Otunga had a meeting, and this was awesome. Batista's like, man, I'm tired tonight. Which, by the way, if you've ever wrestled, guys say that all the time. That is like the number one thing that guys say backstage at a show. I don't even know why. It's like, you.
Well, they're usually tired. He just flew to England.
On the fucking indie scene for your one Tulalip show a month. You go back there, you find out who you're working, you go talk to the guy, you're like, what's going on? Man, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but they brought that to Raw. And Otunga's like, yeah, I'm tired too. Dave's like, why don't you get me a cup of coffee? And Otunga's like, ha ha! Yeah. Oh. Because Dave is dead serious. So he says, well, I was just thinking of going to get a cup of coffee. And he runs into Hoff.
Dave was so awesome. Dave Batista was so awesome here.
Which was just by just hating everyone.
Yeah.
He just looked really mean. So Otunga ran into Hoff, made some old jokes. Hoff signed him to a match with Cena. Kid predicted he would lose to Cena in 22 seconds. Kit was wrong, by the way. It's for future reference.
And the segment ended with David Hasselhoff trying to impress women by telling tales of how he was in the middle of the ocean wrestling a shark.
Yeah.
Fantastic man.
Which he jumped, ironically, afterwards. Carlito and Evan Bourne. Evan won. It was fine.
It was very boring. Who could care? The crowd liked the Shooting Star Press and nothing else.
Cena faced Otunga.
This happened.
Yeah.
John Cena wrestled David Otunga on Raw. I have never, ever seen a man grab a chin lock so fast. Cena ran across the ring, snap married him, and chin locked him.
Cena had an old school shooting match with this man, apparently. He put him in numerous holds. Then he assumed a fisticuff stance and delivered several punches to the abdominals and such. And then he put him in the STFU for the submission.
The absolute worst STF of all time.
This was a fabulous little squash. And then Batista came out. He teased going to the ring. He changed his mind. People chanted, you tapped out. Dave was wearing ridiculous pants. It was great. Wait, Dave's pants! What in the fuck was he wearing?
I don't notice his pants, honestly.
How could you have not noticed these atrocities?
I noticed the shirt he had on backstage was like a golf shirt sweater vest combo or something.
If only I knew how much money he spent to look so bad on a regular basis.
I've mentioned this before. I would pay money to see Dave Batista go shopping.
Yeah.
For his cool clothes and his douchebag heel clothes.
God,
either way,
this was something else.
He's fantastic. So we had a Sheamus promo. He announced himself versus Hunter in a street fight at the pay-per-view. Now, I realize the pay-per-view is called Extreme Rules, but we have this street fight. We have Cena and Dave, last man standing. And Orton and Swagger, they announced, was Extreme Rules. So, it's going to get a little quickly. Sheamus said he was from the streets of Dublin, which is much tougher than anywhere in America or England. He said Hunter showing up at Extreme Rules would be a mistake. It was another winner of a promo. And then Kofi Kingston came out.
Mm-hmm.
You recall last week on Raw, Sheamus basically squashed Kofi and then beat him up with a pipe. Kofi was upset that Sheamus beat him up with a pipe. Should have been upset that he kicked his ass first. But he announced himself versus Sheamus for right now. So last week, as
he
I said...
He talked to David Hasselhoff.
He said,
should have been a vignette.
He talked to David Hasselhoff. So last week, Kofi got squashed. This week, they had a long back-and-forth match. Kofi got to hit his finishing move, and Sheamus had to grab the ropes to escape defeat. And then Sheamus lost by disqualification. Parody booking.
I think the idea was that when he hit Kofi with the monitor, he lost the match. But if this had been a street fight, the match would have continued.
That's stupid.
The announcers did a horrendous job of getting this point across.
That still means he was still getting his ass kicked by Kofi Kingston and had to hit him with a TV monitor to escape.
Well, that part was
that still sucks. We were supposed to believe this guy could hang with Hunter, and he can't even beat Kofi on his own.
Yeah.
So then Sheamus beat up Kofi after the match again. So I was going to say this is like one step forward, two steps back, but this is no steps forward and several steps back for Sheamus. So this segment pissed me off.
We had a segment with Carlito and Vladimir Kozlov. Kozlov wants some competition. Carlito said he was sick of these guest hosts who only cared about themselves and were screwing with his livelihood, which would have made sense if they'd screwed with his livelihood on the show. Instead, they booked him in a match. They actually put him on television for once.
Yeah.
And he had a competitive match and then lost.
Indeed.
I was not quite sure what he was so pissed off
about. Really, this is the peak of his career for the last several months.
But regardless, he said if he didn't get transferred to SmackDown in the draft, he was quitting the company. Kozlov wanted to know who the guest host next week was, and Carlito said it's the cast of MacGruber. And Kozlov said, next week I will get what I want. Otherwise, I destroy MacGruber. That's what he said.
Yes. You quoted him directly.
Now, Mark Henry and who's the other guy that's in MacGruber?
It's like six guys.
Mark Henry and MVP I know for sure are in it. So I presume we're going to get a tag match next week with Henry and MVP representing MacGruber as they face Vladimir Kozlov and Carlito. So yeah, there you go.
We had a Randy Orton promo. It was so flat and monotone and boring that he finished it and I realized I had no idea what he said.
Yeah.
I rewound it to watch again. He's something about looking forward to beating up Dave.
He's a babyface.
This did not work.
No.
So we had the Baywatch Babe triple threat tag match. It was Gail and Kelly versus the Bellas versus Jillian and Rosa. And the gimmick was they were all wearing the red one-piece bathing suits from Baywatch and they all ran down to the ring in slow motion as the music played. That made me laugh. They had a fucking horrible match. Just an atrocity. A Bella pinned Rosa. Santino swallowed his whistle. Hornswoggle gave him the frog splash to knock it out. And then it ended. After the bathing suits, the appeal of this wore off immediately.
I enjoyed it.
Well, good for you.
I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed the I enjoyed the prior of the match. The stuff
sex
before
appeal
the match
and the comedy.
And the stuff after the match. That I enjoyed. The actual match itself was god-awful.
Fair enough.
And by god-awful, I mean fucking horrendous.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I would get that out there for everybody. Go on.
Oh, main event, Orton versus Batista. It was the final boring match on a show full of boring matches. Did pick up a bit at the end. Orton hit Dave with his RKO, but then Jack Swagger immediately hit the ring. He attempted to immediately hit the Dr. Bomb. This attempt failed, and he basically hugged Orton for about 5 seconds, hurt him up and powerbombed him, and then Cena ran out and put the STF on Big Dave, and I didn't care.
This Swagger fella. He's trying.
I can't say I put none of the blame on him, but everything they're doing with him is wrong.
Yeah.
At least on this show, he beat up a guy and hit his move.
That's true.
So this may have been his best night as champion, now that I think about it.
I thought that it was an all right match. Nothing special or anything like that. But, didn't do that great a number either. So I don't know what to make of that. All right, we got songs here we got to play. And also, believe it or not, it's time for Shout Outs.
Wow, we still do those?
We do. We haven't had a free Ryan and Vinny show for a long ass time. So basically, we have a website here. I wish I had Don West here to help me plug this thing.
No shit. That would be great.
We have a website.
Maybe hire him.
Quiet down. We have a website, and if you sign up for it, you get a free shout out here. And why would you not sign up? You get this show all the time. It's one thing to get it once every 2 weeks, or as of late, once every 4 weeks. It's fine to get it here and there, but if you sign up, you get the show, like, all the time. Two to three Brian and Vinny shows a week. I do 3 to 4 Wrestling Observer radios a week with Dave Meltzer, the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. We have a number of other shows as well. I could actually even... I could rattle them off here for you, and believe me, they cover pretty much every possible thing in pro wrestling. Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Brand new show, by the way. They only did 2 episodes. And Les Thatcher has been around for, I don't want to say forever because I would make him upset, but he's been around the block a time or two. And then, of course, a very popular show. Let's move to our site. Wrestling Observer Radio, myself and Dave. All the news, pro wrestling and MMA. Dragon King with, I almost said Steve Sims. Who, by the way, Steve Sims is going to be on the program tomorrow. For those of you that are fans of Lucha Libre, we're going to talk some Mexican pro wrestling. But Dragon King with Carl Stern talks about the history of pro wrestling, and nobody is better with wrestling history than Carl Stern. The Dr. Keith Show. Dr. Keith has actually moved on, but Alan Farrell has taken over. And the show's wacky. That's all I got to say. A lot of indie wrestling, a lot of Japanese pro wrestling, Dragon Gate. It's just, it's a wacky show. You'll enjoy it. Brian and Vinny Show. Of course, you're listening to right now, Figure Four Daily. I just had Rob Conway on the show today, and it was great. As Rob Conway, for example, talked about his ring music and when he heard it for the first time. Five Star Radio and Tough Talk. Five Star with Mike Coughlin. Tough Talk with Oliver Kopp and Mike Sawyer. MMA. Both shows. All MMA. Analysis, guests, whole nine yards. Great shows. And the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare with Adam and Mike, actually. And Mike Sempervivi, my co-host on Wrestling Observer Live on Sundays. They cover Japanese pro wrestling, hockey, various other sports. There's something for everyone here. Thousands of shows in the archives. You sign up today, you have access to every show we've ever done dating back to 2005. If you go to the gym, if you have a commute, if you do anything and you need stuff to listen to, well, there's more stuff on here than you could probably listen to in your whole fucking life, I think, at this point. And it's all wrestling and MMA related. And you wouldn't be listening this far if you didn't love wrestling and MMA. So there's literally no good reason for you to sign up. It's only $10.99 a month. The price is minuscule. When you think about all of the brand new content that goes up every day, $10.99 a month, it's like go to the Mongolian Grill and buy a pop. That's $10.99 for one meal. It's $10.99 for an entire month. So sign up. You get access to all the new stuff, all the old stuff, the newsletters, the whole everything. The whole shebang, including our message board, which, well, bad thing to throw into the plug here, but what can you do? So anyway, if you sign up, you get a free shout out. We're going to read some of those right now. It'll give you an idea of why you should sign up. It's from Jason. Haven't claimed my shout out. It's only been 5 years.
Which tells you something. Jason.
Jason signed up and he's been resubscribing every single month for 5 years. Says, I guess it's as good a time as any. Want to alert everybody, we are starting to gather a roll call for the annual Friday night dinner in Vegas for the convention. If you're planning on attending, please either post in the Sticky Vegas thread in the mixed martial arts section of the unmoderated board. Got all that? Or PM me. He's Sideswipe 70. It's your opportunity to break bread with such fine people as Brian, Ed in San Antonio, Stevie J, Klitz, Crippler One, Dave, and of course, Granny!
And Vinny. Hello. Well,
he said, Vinny, I would have included you in the list, but I don't want to promise for you to be attending and then have you be a no-show.
Well, that's fair, but I will take this time to announce. I'm going to be there!
Wow.
So there you go.
As well, I have posted another thread in the MMA section to see if there's any interest in having a dinner in Montreal on UFC 113 weekend. So if you're interested, please post there. Looking forward to seeing everybody in Vegas this year. That's right, we're doing a convention in Vegas the end of May. For more information, go to the board, sign in, go to the MMA forum. It's right up there at Stickied. All the information is there, and you too can head out and join us, and we all have a good time.
It's the best time of the year.
That's right. All right. This is from William. Thanks to Brian, Vinny, and Dave for an amazing site. It's worth far more than the paltry monthly fee. We really do appreciate your hard work. I'm moving to Korea soon and have to sell my thousands of Japanese wrestling tapes. Rare commercial masters I paid up to $120 for.
Wow.
Please let everybody know to check out WrestlingTapes.net. That's WrestlingTapes.net. That's from William. Fine man, William. Thanks for signing up. Rate. This here is from Alex Goff here. Brian and Vinny, I'd like to send a shout out to my wife.
Aww.
Who now listens to all of these shows with me, but her favorite day is Friday with Granny. Thanks for all the hard work. I love when wives listen to the show and actually enjoy it.
It's mystifying.
We went down to Phoenix, and I met many wives who were subjected to it, would be the better
yes,
term.
Yes, they endure it.
Husbands waking up in the morning, husbands going to bed at night, and my voice screeching in their ears. I've said it before, I apologize to all the wives. That came out poorly. But again, I apologize to all the wives, and a big congratulations to Mrs. Goff. A fine woman, I'm sure, because Alexander Goff is a fine man. Yes. Sergeant! Alex Goff as well. All right. This person here says, been a member since April of 2009. I love the B&V show, and you and Meltzer are great. I want to shout out your work for doing all these interviews and having interesting questions to make your quality of shows much better than other podcasts and wrestling shows I've heard. So much so that I don't follow anything else. But what I'm really all about is the posting of wrestling shows on the site that most U.S. wrestling fans can't see. Examples being the Survival of the Hitman show, which was fucking great. That show, the comedy of the Wrestlicious rap, Wrestling Observer Live being on the site, the songs, and the board take way too much out of my time away from my job and family. If I could get away with signing up for 1 year at one time without my wife finding out, I would do it. Instead of sneaking it in monthly, hoping it gets lost in the shuffle of kids' toys and bills. Strongly encourage other wrestling fans to sign up. It makes you rich. I guess that's me. And allows us to hear great wrestling coverage. Other shout-outs include the Great Muda, Vinny kicking your ass for all the fat jokes, you guys getting a Japan wrestling guy to cover the scene that is over there. Well, we do. Alan Farrell, actually. Tom Petty back on tour. Dr. Luch, or Dr. Luch, I'm sorry. Granny's posse, her gang. More Vince rap lyrics. You complaining about being tired, but not about covering wrestling as a full-time job. 1997 Shawn Michaels interviews, Tanahashi and David Richards on a show that I can watch and enjoy. ML Curley getting his ass thrown in jail. That's obscure. And for the level of all things holy, I am shouting out for at least 3 minutes of coverage by you and Dave on what the fuck happened to Randy Savage and Vince McMahon that has caused the major rift between the two, rumors included. Well, we've talked about it before, actually.
No one knows.
And the conclusion is, about six people know, and yeah. Neither Dave or I are among them. So.
Yeah. And they're not talking.
Don't know what to tell you. God bless you. Keep up the great work. Thanks for the site and the content. That's from Jeff. Thanks very much, Jeff.
What the hell was Survival of the Hitman?
I don't know, actually. I'll have to...
And there's... I have no earthly idea. Is it Thomas Hearns? Is it Bret Hart?
Mm-hmm.
They're both still alive, I think, so they have survived.
Let's see here. Did we play? I think that's the last shout out we've got. If I miss your shout out, everybody, I apologize. We've gotten a lot of them. So hopefully I did not miss yours. But anyway, that's it for the shout out. So let's play the song I've been teasing all day long. I hope that this young man did a fine job on it, Nabil. Because if not, it's going to be an epic fail. So let's see what we've got here. Vinny's Eulogy for Me. Which will never happen, by the way. It appears to be absolute silence.
Perhaps that's the joke. I don't know.
This is fascinating. Is there a joke here I'm missing, Nabil? I swear to God, I'm not fucking with you either. I am playing the song and nothing is playing.
I think the joke is that if you died, I would have nothing to say.
I see.
Yeah.
Why did he have it play for 1 minute and 39 seconds?
To see if you play the whole thing.
All right, well, let's try this one. Vince owns Brian. All right.
This guy appears to be a fan of mine.
Okay, I got all the volume is turned up. Let me try hit and play. It's abject silence.
It appears to be an epic fail. The ultimate epic fail.
I'm going to read this here. I apologize for my recent outbursts. I understand that my actions did nothing but delay the playing of my two great songs. I'm a regular subscriber. I've been pleased with the content. I even recommend it to my friends who don't even like wrestling. They still enjoy the shows. If you could find it in your heart to forgive my crude racial slurs and play my immense songs, I would be eternally grateful. Nabilia, the board's greatest Moroccan. And both songs are...
Morocco is ashamed of you, Nabilia.
Silence. Can I top that, or should we just end the show now?
I'm in favor of ending the show.
I'm going to play one song here. It's amazing. All right. Let's... Hungry, Hungry Helmsley Hippos. Triple H equals Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
If you want to win the game, you got to take a good aim and get the most
title
with your hippo. Playing
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Hey.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
The hippos.
Hunter Hearst
Helmsley. Hippos is the name of the game. And who's ever hippo gets the most titles wins.
Got
it. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Hippos.
Hit him again. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Hippos.
I win.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Hippos from Hasbro.
A fine game.
A fine game.
A fine game. I like when they announce Hunter Hearst Helmsley and then you hear a child say, hooray!
Yes. Oh, you know what? I got to play one last thing here, actually. I saw this as I was about to start the show, and I almost opened with it, but I didn't. The only song I've ever made, everybody. Here it is, right here.
A Barrel of Fun, starring
Come
pull the barrel of fun. Come let put a boom on the bun. Come let with old Charlie Muggles. Drop all your worries and troubles.
Where did you find that?
Come to the barrel of fun. Come to the barrel of fun.
And there's the children going, yay. You know, I cannot hear that song without my brain putting the word ass in there by Terry Funk every time. It throws me off every time I don't hear it. All right, everybody, that's it from here. Sign up for the website. Now's your chance. Vinny and I are going to be back on Friday with a brand new show.
Told you about this last week, but
oh,
you apparently forgot.
Fucker.
We'll figure it out, but it will not be Friday.
We'll be back
night.
Later on this week with a brand new show featuring Granny. So we'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.
Thursday we'll be back with Granny.